Welcome to NeuroScene, where we explore the future of neuroscience. This is Stephen Hernan with NeuroScene. Recent research seems to indicate that animals raised without fathers exhibit significant reductions in neuronal growth during the immediate postnatal period. And this reduced brain development translates into adverse behavioral issues later on in life, especially among male offspring. Is it possible that human children might experience similar brain effects by being raised in a fatherless environment? In this podcast, we speak with Dr. Anna Katharina Braun, director of the Institute of Biology at Otto von Guericke University in Magdeburg, Germany, who conducted this study. Dr. Braun recently presented her findings at the Society for Neuroscience meeting here in Chicago. Be sure to join us for a fascinating look at the critical role of the father in the brain development of postnatal children. Good morning, Dr. Braun. Thank you for coming onto the show today.
Yeah, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Dr. Braun, let's start out with a more general question. You had indicated in your recent publication that our functional neuronal networks are essentially sculpted from childhood experience, emotional and cognitive. Could you tell us what you mean by this and, for the benefit of the audience, explain the research and the science behind this?
That's actually a long lecture I could give on that. But to make it short, the basic is that our brains, while they are developing, especially postnatally, when we are interacting with the environment, are producing new synaptic connections. So the neurons start talking to each other by these synapses, but also during specific time windows, like during puberty. There is also the opposite development, namely a selection of synapses which is pruned. So the brain is not only growing, but it's also reducing abundant synapses. And this selective shaping, that is what depends on the environment. So the more synapses are activated while you are interacting with your environment, the more you keep, because these will be important for your behavior.
Okay.
And those synapses which are not activated by your environment, they may be eliminated from the network.
You had mentioned that the animal brain and the human brain, obviously by extension, a very important period in synaptic development is the prenatal period. How is that significant?
Well, it depends on the status of the neurons. Depending on the developmental time window, different components may interfere with neuronal and synaptic development. So, for instance, prenatally, in some brain regions, such as the hippocampus or the prefrontal cortex, which mature very late, these neurons may not even have synapses yet to talk to other neurons. But nevertheless, environmental influences can still shape these neurons' connectivities, which have to be formed later in life. And that means that events that occur at a very immature stage of your brain development can have long-term consequences, which you may not even relate to these early events. And later in development, when the neurons have created some synapses and started talking to each other within these networks, then the activity of these neurons, which is triggered by environmental influences like seeing, hearing, feeling, doing something, then these events are also reorganizing these synaptic connections between the neurons. So you have different factors that can interfere with the shaping of these networks. So it's a very sophisticated interaction between the genetic predisposition, which triggers your neurons to grow and form networks, and the optimization of these networks, which is done by the environment.
Very interesting. It's obvious that this is quite a critical period in animal brain development, this very brief period post-birth.
Mm-hmm.
Given this backdrop and this phenomenon, What made you particularly interested in examining the role of parental interaction, specifically the role of the father, the interaction of the father, during this process and this period?
Yeah, well, the research which is analyzing the role of parental care on the offspring's brain development has mainly been focused on maternal care and maternal behavior towards her offspring, which is probably psychologically or traditionally understandable, but nevertheless, human beings, as a few animals, are biparental. And that means we have two social partners in our early life with whom we can learn how to shape our own feelings, how to interact, how to develop appropriate social and emotional behaviors. And in humans, there is a lot of evidence and investigations which have shown that mothers and fathers may have very distinct roles in terms of shaping the behavior of their offspring. And there may even be a difference between the role of the father for his son or the role of the father on his daughter, and also vice versa, the mother's role on her son's and daughter's development. So there may be a gender-specific interaction between both parents and their children. And that made us interested in the role of paternal care. What specifically is the father doing in terms of shaping his offspring's behavior, and especially the brain circuitries, which can be analyzed in animal models?
How did you set up the experiment and the research in order to examine and measure the effects of father deprivation in child brain development?
Yeah, it's actually a very simple and straightforward experimental approach, which we were using in Degus. This is a small rodent living in Chile and in our lab, obviously. And they have been shown to be biparental, so that was a nice animal model. And the simple experiment with which we wanted to find out whether brain development is affected by paternal care is this deprivation experiment. So we removed the fathers from the families one day after his offspring was born. So the father left the family after his children were born. And then we compared the brains of these father-deprived animals with those which have been raised by both parents. And the differences which we saw in these two animal groups can be interpreted as the contribution of paternal care on the development of the brain.
In the experimental group, the group of offspring that were deprived the interaction of the father, what exactly were they deprived of? What did they miss out on? What did they not have that the control group had as far as interaction?
That's a very important question. And we have quantified the behavior of the mother and also the father during the first 3 weeks after their pups were born. And we could see that maternal care is highly intensive during the first week because she's nursing the pups.
Right.
And then seems to be gradually decline a little bit. She's still very active. Whereas the father's contribution is on the rise starting around the second week. So he's increasing his contribution in the second and third week of life of his offspring. That means also the intensity of maternal care and paternal care may be different in different developmental time windows.
Okay.
The other issue is that both parents have very similar behaviors. So they are actually doing identical things with their pups. There is nothing so far which we could identify to be specific for the father, except for nursing, which he cannot do, obviously.
Right.
But he seems to compensate this body contact, which is natural when the mother is nursing her pups, and since he cannot do it, he's doing more huddling. So he's just huddling with his pups without nursing. So he has also the same body contact with his pups as the mothers are doing. So So there is no specific male type of behavior which we could identify, which was a little bit disappointing for us, but maybe we have to be more careful in the analysis. And we will reanalyze actually the videos which we have taken from all these Daegu families, and maybe we will be able to pick out some more specific male type paternal behavior.
At the conclusion of this experiment, what were some of the key findings, or perhaps maybe some of the unexpected surprises of the study?
The conclusion of this experiment, first of all, was that the father-deprived animals received around 50% less parental care. If we take the father away, they have 50% less social interaction with an adult animal because only the mother is left in the family.
Okay.
And the mother is not compensating her maternal care. So when dad left the house, she's not becoming overactive in terms of compensating. So she stays with her intensity of maternal care as if the father was still around. So we have animals which have about 50% less parental care. And the findings in the brains of these father-deprived animals were, first of all, very massive, which was actually a big surprise.
Interesting.
Of course, we expected a difference, but I did not actually expect that the changes which we found were so extensive. And one finding which we have published recently in Neuroscience was that in the prefrontal areas and especially in the orbitofrontal part of the prefrontal cortex, which is an emotional cortical area that is highly connected with the limbic system, so the system with which we are learning and memorizing and feeling and control our feelings, that in this area, some cell populations have reduced numbers of synaptic contacts. So that means that obviously in those areas, the neurons, while they were growing during the time the pups were deprived, did not grow as many synaptic contacts as in the animals which had both parents. And that could mean that due to the lack of stimulation, because one parent was not there, those neurons got not enough input, and that's why they show only reduced connections with other neurons. So it looks like it's an impaired type of neuronal network in these father-deprived animals. And the fine synapses are excitatory synapses, and that means that the orbital frontal cortex in these animals, in the father-deprived animals, seems to develop a hypofunction. So it's not as excitable by other events as in the normal biparentally raised animals. And that could affect a lot of other limbic regions with which the orbital frontal cortex is connected and on which the cortical region is putting its control function on.
You had mentioned that the animals that were deprived of the father had neuronal networks that were significantly reduced when compared to the biparental animals. About what percentage of reduction did you have, or were there pretty consistent findings in that?
It depends on the brain area, actually, how severe the effect is which we were measuring. And, of course, we are doing a lot of statistics on our findings and so forth. But roughly, we can say that in the orbital frontal cortex, which is, as mentioned previously, is one of our major focus areas because of its importance for emotional regulation, it's about 30% less of these excitatory synapses.
Wow.
So it's a pretty big effect, which we did not actually expect in that magnitude. So it's pretty a lot. And it's even actually more severe after we have now just finished another analysis in the same brain region, in the same experimental setting, where we analyzed inhibitory neurons. Because all brain regions have to establish a homeostatic balance between inhibition and excitation. So the result I was just describing to you was focused on the excitatory synaptic networks. if we looked at the inhibitory networks, we were thinking maybe the loss of excitation may be compensated by a reduced inhibition. So we just, the neurons which put the brakes on these excitations may compensate for it. But it was even the opposite, because what we found was that also the inhibitory neurons, some specific types of inhibitory neurons, were increased in their activity, and that makes this loss of excitatory synapses even worse. So the hypofunctioning orbitofrontal cortex may be not only caused by a loss of excitatory synapses, but it may be amplified by an increase of these inhibitory synapses.
Given these results, given these very significant changes in the brain networks during this critical developmental period, what might be maybe some of the learning, memory, or even behavioral consequences of this lack of development?
Yeah, that's also an interesting question, because we just started to analyze the behavioral outcome in these father-deprived animals, so I cannot say too much yet. What we see in these animals is that while they are still with the parents or with one parent, the pups among each other, the siblings among each other, seem to be more involved in aggressive type of play fighting in the father-deprived families. It's not clear whether this increased aggression behavior is a predictor for an increased aggression behavior in adulthood, and we have to check that.
Okay.
The other thing which we noticed was that the father-deprived animals seem to have a lack of impulse control, which makes a lot of sense, because the orbitofrontal cortex is one of the regions which is not only controlling aggressive behavior, but also which is involved in impulsivity. So the father-deprived animals may lack impulse control, which may affect not only aggressive behavior, but also other behaviors, which are sometimes in the way when you have to learn something or interact with your conspecifics. You need to learn how to control your impulse to say something or to do something.
Right.
So maybe that's a deficit they also have, and we want now to clarify that.
Did the gender of the offspring, whether male or female, make a difference in any of the brain development in the father-deprived and the control animals?
Great question. That's still ongoing research, because we also have now the cis. We have only analyzed the male pups so far.
Okay.
But we have also the brains of their sisters, and that is now the next step which we will take and see whether, like in humans, the paternal role is different for the female brain as compared to the male brain. In another experiment which is not related to paternal care, but we have evidence for gender-specific brain development when we looked at animals which were stressed prenatally. And there we found in some brain regions, like the hippocampal formation, opposite effects in the male and the female offspring. So there is definitely to be expected that the environmental influences on the female and the male brain, even before these animals start to become sexually mature, should be different for these males and females.
So how has the scientific and maybe even the non-scientific communities responded so far to your research results, and is it what you expected?
Actually, it's interesting, and it's not surprising to me that the American people have responded with much more interest and questions and discussions to these findings than here in Europe. But that may be due to the fact that this type of research is more popular in the United States and is more active in the United States compared to Europe, especially in Germany. So I had a huge discussion with a lot of people at the neuroscience meeting in Chicago this year, also at the press conference and following the press conference. So I was really overwhelmed on how many people are interested and contacting me and giving remarks and asking questions, which is very rewarding for me, and also which gives us a lot of new ideas and views, especially from lay people. they ask questions which are extremely interesting to us and which just let us view things from a different perspective, which is kind of nice.
So what's next for you? What are some of the areas that you're exploring as an extension of this project?
Well, some of them have already been addressed, like looking at the girls' brains, how they are affected in their development.
Okay.
I would like to see whether the time point when the father is leaving the family is critical. Because in the experiment which we have done so far, the pups cannot even form an emotional relationship and an attachment to their father because he's removed after their birth. But it may be completely different once the pups had the opportunity to bond to their fathers and then he's leaving. So that would be something which we would be highly interested in. Also, we would like to see whether the missing father could be replaced by another mother or an aunt or the grandmother or just another animal which takes care of the pups. Or is it specific the own father, which is essential for the development of these pups. And finally, I would also like to see once these father-deprived pups have grown up, and we know that the changes which we see in their brains are many of them are maintained until adulthood, do they show different paternal behavior or maternal behavior? Is their own parental behavior affected by this deprivation which they experience in their own childhood?
Throughout this entire process, in choosing this particular subject area, in conducting this research, and in finding these results and presenting them, and dealing with all of the publicity and the feedback surrounding it, how has this whole process just affected your outlook on maybe parent-child relationships in general?
Yeah, that's a very essential question, because in our modern societies, at least in the developed countries, the amount of parental care which the children experience is becoming less and less. Which is also not only due to the fact that in most families both parents are professionals, they are working during the day, but also the media may replace the interaction between the children and the parents, television, computers. So somehow the kids are raised in quite a autistic type of environment, and the question is now, how does it affect their brains? So the idea being that we should actually become more active in terms of educating parents and telling them how important they are for the brain development of their children, because they are lay people, they are not professional educators, they just have children and they try to do the very best. But they should probably be more aware of the long-term consequences which they have on their children's brains, and how much chances they have to optimize their children's brains by just playing with them and interacting with them, and how dangerous it can be if they do not work on their kids' brains and just put them in front of the TV or the computers other than is not taking care of them. So I think the awareness of parents in terms of their impact on their children's brain development should be increased, so they may be maybe more active on that.
Dr. Braun, this has been a very fascinating conversation. I really enjoyed having you on the show today, and on behalf of NeuroScene and our listening audience worldwide, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us today, and we wish you the best of luck with your future work.
Yeah, thank you a lot. Thanks for having me.
This podcast has been a production of NeuroScene. Thank you for listening, and be sure to visit us online at www.neuroscene.com.